Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, cutting-edge news program. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly.
We're recording this program of utmost warnings, live in Global Star. It's now Tuesday, December 12th. This program will be aired tomorrow night, December 13th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at WWCR.com and on WWCR's shortwave, 5.935 megahertz. And also at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, you can hear our programs on LWRN.net, Liberty Works Radio Network, and on KStarTalkRadio.com and KingdomStarRadio.com. Consult their websites for days and times. Last week's programs were repeats due to our telephone being dead for two whole days. We believe the hand of God was in this and not the enemy. For as we deliberated over which past program to select, suddenly producer Todd Waite was calling on Lou's cell phone, needing an immediate selection to be the repeat. So we made the decision to select Gary Carr's monumental April 6th interview. We are certain God wanted this talk with Gary to air.
Yes, and Lou, I made that note about Lou's cell phone, and then you got to see it later. Go ahead.
As we ourselves listened again to that program, we heard the amazingly timely warnings and the great hope and encouragement. Our Savior is real and will not desert us, but will help us in the chaos ahead. To hear this a crucial interview, go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, our website, and go to the listening archives, and you can hear the program for either December 6th or December 7th, 2023. Tonight, we have shocking warnings of what may lie ahead in 2024. We open our December news blitz with the most front-line articles.
Yes, and Lou, as a little preface to that, this is Christmas time, and it's a time of good eating and good food, and we're on the forefront of alerting you about harmful ingredients in products such as aspartame, and actually, I just saw something. I believe this might have been in the AARP magazine. We'll have to check to make sure, but the FDA apparently has now made this statement that 75 packets a day of aspartame are safe. 75 packets, Lou?
That seems like one large amount of MSG.
Oh, no.
Oh, not MSG.
This is not. We're going to get
aspartame.
To that story. You heard me saying. But in the meantime, Lou, another thing came up, this thing about the FDA giving its stamp of approval to aspartame. And we know that Dr. Betty Martini, years ago with Dr. Stan Monteith on his program Radio Liberty, delineated all the kinds of side effects from brain tumors to everything else. You don't want this in your nervous system. So there's the good old FDA coming through after the COVID years in typical fashion. And then, you know, for years we went to a little restaurant that we loved here in the Eastern Shore, and it was the H&G restaurant. And some of the governors would stop there. I mean, it was a well-known little place, and now it became some kind of a health center, and you laughingly said it was to remedy all the people who had eaten for years at H&G. We used to joke and call it Hog and Grits. Well, when we'd come out of there, occasionally I would have flushed cheeks, and we found out later there was one of the ingredients, I believe, in the mayonnaise that had MSG in it. So we got that pinned down. You know, flushed cheeks is only one kind of a reaction. That's really minor. Again, you could look up, if you can still find it on the Internet, things are getting increasingly hard to find, things that are beneficial, but it's not hard to find the mainstream media propaganda. So here we had Food Network magazine for, I guess this is December and January. I think it was November, the Thanksgiving issue, listeners, that I reported to you that was pushing cultured meat. And this was being used by some chefs. I think one was in San Francisco, maybe one was in PA, and they were making these special cultured meat dishes. Then we told you about how to get this cultured meat. We told you about some of the things that went on in the bovine world, getting the fetus. It was horrible. Horrible. And so, you know, that was cultured meat. And Lou picked up an article just recently about Italy banning the cultured meat, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Very good article.
Yes, and we'll get to that, but probably not for a couple programs. So you'll know that's coming. So now what we have on MSG, we have this in the Food Network magazine. The umami, I guess it's U-M-A-M-I, umami rich seasoning. This umami rich seasoning is finally getting the credit it deserves. Do I hear a hurrah?
Yes,
Lou, you want that? On your disappeared bacon because of the mRNA that we don't really want to have pork anymore. You'll have to put it in some kind of cereal, cooked cereal maybe. The FDA, back to the article, recently endorsed MSG as a salt substitute. Oh, give another hip hip hooray.
Yay.
Old people, the useless eaters, the ones they're targeting that RSV vaccine for. Oh, yes, here's another tool for them in their toolbox, the global depopulationists. Okay, so now we say in this article that the FDA recently endorsed MSG as a salt substitute, and 75% of the global social media conversation about MSG is now positive. Oh, let's do what everybody else does. Let's go on Facebook. Oh, let's just follow the lemmings off the cliff. Are you ready, Lou? Do you want
MSG? Ready.
I think it should be like that one woman with the salt you watched in that little restaurant years ago, H&G. I think the cab driver would bring her daily. She was one of these wealthy magnates. I guess she wasn't the one you met in the bank, the heir to the Chef Boyardee fortune, but she was someone like that, probably. They drove her up. They deposited her at the door. She sat down. Her food was served. And then what about the salt shaker?
She used a lot of it, but the one I remember the best is this man.
Oh, I have the people mixed up. He was probably another one like that. And what did he do?
Well, he happened to be sitting near the door when I was paying, and I happened to look over, and he started shaking and shaking
the
and
salt.
Shaking and shaking. And literally, I think it must have gone on 10 seconds. He was just piling the salt on.
Oh, well, now, if only he were still alive. He probably isn't because of his blood pressure. But we could tell him now that he could use MSG instead, because 75% of the global social media, we said, in their conversation about MSG, they're now positive. And this is according to the data company, MINTAIRL, I'm not sure where that's an L. That sounds kind of Chinese to me.
Does have that sound to it?
We don't know. Try adding a dash of MSG to something unexpected. This, and it could be like, oh no, you'll never guess. You're going to be upset because you're somebody who likes your sugar. Guess what they want you to put it in?
What?
Well, guess. Something sweet.
Oatmeal.
No, sweeter.
Fruitcake.
No, sweeter.
Pudding.
A brownie. How would you like to have MSG in a brownie?
I'll pass on that.
Ew. Or a martini. Well, you don't drink.
No.
You stopped drinking when you dated me.
That's true.
And it's a good thing. You would have never been abusive, but you got a little silly. And you didn't really want to end up decades later with brain damage through drinking. And God doesn't really want you to be drinking anyway. So now that you've had that little heads up. Also, one of our listeners wrote to us and said that she dumped the stevia after she heard us give a new report that showed the erythritol could possibly cause cardiovascular dysfunctions, heart attacks, strokes, etc. Now, we do have to point out, if you were able to get stevia, absolutely pure stevia, this problem wouldn't be there because it is the sugar, alcohol, the erythritol that causes the problem. But as I said, I only found one company in which you could get the stevia plain like a powder, and it moved from the U.S., somewhere like Illinois, to China. So it's sitting in the dining room. I don't think we'll ever use this powder, this suspect powder. So now we must move on. As Lou said, we have the front line details. You don't want to miss this. And any of you who did miss the first interview on April the 6th of Gary Call, he has great warnings for what we're possibly going into. You do want to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go into the listening archives and look at our December 6th and 7th programs. We repeated it both nights because we thought it was so incredibly important. You will want to hear that. And now we come to our first headline, and this is Hal Turner Radio Show, December 2nd. They're using the COVID playbook all over again. This time it's white lung syndrome to steal the 2024 election. The communist Chinese and their closet commies of the U.S. Democratic Party are using the COVID-19 playbook all over again, ostensibly to steal yet another presidential election, this one scheduled for 2024. This time they're using, quote, white lung syndrome. Think back to the year 2019 and how COVID developed. In December 2019, a mysterious disease broke out in China, which was allegedly felling people at a horrifying rate. Videos were released from inside China showing everyone, every average kind of person walking down a street, standing at a bus stop, or sitting at their desk in an office, keeling over. And now we have another headline that is associated, and this time we have, this is the Daily Mail, Luke Andrews, November 30th. Now Massachusetts follows county in Ohio and says it's being hit by wave of white lung pneumonia in children after China and Europe saw surge in cases and hospitalizations. Now, we must intrude to say that we have to take all of these articles with a grain of salt because there can be propaganda to stir up the fear, fearmonger, and anything from Massachusetts is now suspect. It really is because we have had our Massachusetts contact hunting up those 40 secret installations in which Governor Mara Healey has that National Guard there, whipping them up, going to these places for the illegal immigrants, Operation Task Shelter. Operation, what is it, Lou, exactly? Operation.
Oh, I think it's Task Force Shelter. I think.
Yes, that's it, Task Force Shelter. I believe that's right. So we don't know. It's suspect now that we're getting this out of Massachusetts and Ohio. So here we have some little headlines there at the Daily Mail. County said that the spike in cases meets their definition of an outbreak. Next bullet point. Spread raised fears of an American outbreak of a disease tearing through China. Read more. Congress demands CDC hands over its data on China outbreak. Doctors in parts of Massachusetts and Ohio are reporting a spike in child pneumonia cases similar to the outbreak spreading in China and parts of Europe. In Warren County, just 30 miles outside Cincinnati, there have been 142 pediatric cases of the condition, dubbed white lung syndrome, since August. And then we have another twist here. There's a different elephant maybe waiting in the room to stomp on all of us. Okay, this is more concerning. This is November 30th, and this is Ashley Hollowell, and they have written Twitter. What's its new name? Is it E?
Oh, now there you've got me.
I couldn't remember either. They're floating these things so, changing them so quickly.
Yeah.
Well, this is still back with the old name anyway. This was November 30th. Denver Health administers first shots of Ebola vaccines. In a milestone moment in the Mile High City on November 27th, Denver Health administered the first live, did you hear that, Lou? Live,
yeah.
Ebola vaccine for preventative measures to some patients, 9 News reported. In 2015, HHS, and that, of course, is the Department of Health and Human Services, Biden's little joy, I'm putting that in, Elizabeth, but in 2015, HHS designated Denver Health one of 13 regional emerging special pathogens treatment centers in the U.S. But Lou, don't you find that to be an ominous name, that nomenclature? Regional Emerging Special Pathogens Treatment Centers.
Well, it seems to me that they expect some more pathogens to emerge so that they can have something to work with.
In other words, this seems preparatory to you,
Yeah, sure does.
And so when they designated this, one of these 13 regional places, serving as an infectious disease training and care hub for six states in its region. It is one of the first health systems in the country to administer the vaccine, according to the news outlet. The vaccine, Ervebo, it's spelled capital E-R-V-E-B-O, was first approved by the FDA in 2019 for anyone older than one. While outbreaks have continued across the globe, Ebola is less frequently seen in the U.S., but nonetheless is extremely deadly, with a mortality rate between 70% and 90% when left untreated, according to the CDC. Importation of Ebola disease to the United States by an infected traveler from an outbreak area is a recognized risk with the potential for spread to other people, the CDC states. During the 2014-2016 Ebola disease outbreak in West Africa, 11 people were treated for Ebola in the U.S. and two of them died. Nine of these cases were imported into the U.S. The other two cases were contracted by healthcare workers treating the patients, according to the agency. It is unclear how long the vaccines provide immunity, but at the moment, the dosage is just one shot. Maria Frank, MD, a hospital medicine specialist with Denver Health, told 9 News. She was one of the first recipients of the vaccine, which at this time is only available to frontline workers at high risk of contracting the disease.
Yes, and here's some more on the possible Ebola specter. Independent media outlet InfoWars founder Alex Jones warned his audience that the global elites are planning to release the next bioweapon to eradicate and lock down humanity, the Ebola virus, and this time via air. Jones explained how the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, was only the dress rehearsal or a test phase for what the globalists have already planned. And Alex says, quote, they wanted to test the censorship, test the surveillance, and bring in the control grid. This was just a dress rehearsal, and it's still a dangerous virus, and the shot's 10 times worse, Alex said during an episode of the Alex Jones Show. And Alex continued, they are not going to give up, although they lost their censorship battle. I'm a little bit on the edge of my seat here, because New World Order is coming down on us right now, unquote. According to an article on the website of Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, Gavi, Ebola has so far only affected African countries, and occasional cases outside of the continent have been rapidly contained. But the virus could mutate to spread more easily between people, making it more of a pandemic threat. The article has been published on the organization's site since March of 2021. The virus spreads through direct contact with blood, secretions, organs, or other bodily fluids of infected individuals, and with surfaces and materials contaminated with these fluids. But experts on infectious diseases worry that this deadly virus could mutate and be transmitted just by a cough or a sneeze. And here we have a quote, it's the single greatest concern I've ever had in my 40-year public health career, said Dr. Michael Osterholm, director for the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. He went on to say, I can't imagine anything in my career, and this includes HIV, that would be more devastating to the world than a respiratory transmissible Ebola virus, unquote. A CNN article back in October 2014 reported that World Health Organization, that is WHO, scientists were unaware of any virus that has dramatically changed its mode of transmission. Osterholm said the chances are relatively small that the virus will make that jump. But he warned that as the virus spreads, the likelihood increases. Every time a new person gets Ebola, the virus gets another chance to mutate and develop new capabilities. Osterholm calls it genetic roulette.
Lou, remember, and all of you listeners, how the Illuminati has a so-called moral code that presses them to announce evil plans ahead of time. Just the way the movie The Lone Gunman predicted the 9/11 events, well, perhaps we have an announcement again. This was The People's Voice, November 25th. Gates Foundation insider boasts billions will die in 2024 pandemic. And this again was November 25th, and this was Baxter Dimitri. 3 years ago, Bill Gates openly bragged that a future pandemic would wipe billions of people off the face of the earth. Speaking with his trademark smirk, Gates could not have been clearer about his plans for the future. Now, according to a Gates Foundation insider, plans for the promised pandemic are underway, and the global elite are planning to shift their depopulation agenda into high gear. What is the event they are planning? It is a severe pandemic, worse than COVID-19, targeting young people and children. Gates is trying desperately to stop any information about this disturbing plan from leaking out to the public. But unfortunately for him, there are now too many people determined to expose his evil to the world. Gates is furious that his plans are being thwarted by so-called conspiracy theorists who are determined to expose his evil agenda. Appearing on the Trevor Noah podcast this week, Gates railed against so-called conspiracy theorists who are making his, quote, super important work, end of quote, much harder than it used to be. Gates only has himself to blame. Like other members of the globalist elite, he has become arrogant and is now saying the quiet parts out loud. Whereas once this kind of talk would have only been possible in a dark and smoky back room, Gates is now sharing his vision for the depopulation of the world right out in the open. Remember Event 201? A preparedness exercise featuring a coronavirus pandemic conducted in October 2019 under the auspices of the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and involving the usual suspects, including the World Health Organization, China's CDC, Anthony Fauci, and others. The timing was exquisite. And the COVID-19 pandemic started within weeks of the exercise and went on just as they predicted it would. The globalist elite were in heaven. The World Economic Forum could not resist gloating about the situation, singing the praises of brutally efficient, and that's a quote, listeners, brutally efficient, end of quote, lockdowns. The average person was terrified into submissive compliance by mainstream media, who shamelessly served as handmaidens of the elite. We were locked down, punished, made ill, injected, and impoverished. The economic consequences for everyday people have been disastrous and are continuing to mount. I'm going to interject there. The deaths have not stopped either. It was said that they might go on into 2025, and we just reported last time we were on live that there was a 22-year-old white man here who dropped dead unexpectedly, suddenly, and he was in the best of health because he was a volunteer fireman. He was sort of a rancher type here in Maryland. He was out. He was working. So this time bomb is continuing. Back to the article. In case you doubt that the elite are happy about this, take a look at the size of Bill Gates' psychopathic smile when CNN host Fareed Zakaria says the economy is going to take a long time to recover. Of course, the rich got richer. The elite are now more elite than ever before. And of course, the elites themselves did not have to suffer through punishing lockdowns. The World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum are both based in Switzerland, which happened to be one of the few countries that did not enforce lockdowns and mask orders. Gee, Lou, this is Elizabeth. I wonder why.
Well, I guess those bigwigs didn't want to bother with masks.
Are they different from you and me?
Yep.
And the listeners of the Divided Kingdom?
That's right. Isn't that a famous old saying? I don't know who initiated it, but the rich are different.
It could have been F. Scott Fitzgerald, the American writer. I'm not sure.
I think you might be right. Yep.
Back to the article. It's one rule for thee and another for me. Considering the suffering inflicted on humanity by the elite these past few years, it is imperative that we keep a very close eye on the actions of those who profited from the pandemic. In particular, you should be aware that a new pandemic is spreading through China, hospitalizing children and causing brainwashed liberals to beg the government to lock down society all over again. If that wasn't disturbing enough, the new pandemic has the elite's fingerprints all over it. What are the odds that just 1 week after Joe Biden met with Chinese dictator Xi Jinping and Democratic Party mega donors, China is now announcing another COVID-like illness that is tearing through the country just in time for the 2024 election? Joe and Xi did the same thing in 2020.
Of course, paid propaganda journalists and so-called fact-checkers will soon arrive to declare this to be a big conspiracy theory by citing references of the institutions which are clearly a part of the conspiracy against humanity. But we saw what they did in the COVID pandemic, and we took notes. We are not letting them get away with that one again. According to Gates, the, quote, lessons learned, unquote, from 2020 involved the elite taking a much stronger stance against so-called, quote, misinformation, unquote, than during the COVID pandemic. How does this play out in the real world? It means there will be even more censorship and suppression of free speech when the next pandemic is rolled out to the world. After all, during COVID, the skeptics won out, which is not acceptable to Bill Gates. Despite having the weight of the mainstream media and global autocratic control infrastructure stacked against us, we've managed to prevail by refusing to be bullied and silenced by their authoritarian tactics. So, Bill Gates is planning the next catastrophic contagion pandemic, killing younger people, where a much stronger misinformation control will be undertaken. According to Gates, countries must prioritize efforts to increase trust in government and public health. Gates now understands that we are onto him. Let's face it. There are just far too many coincidences when it comes to Gates to allow him to work away quietly in the shadows without watching him closely. He has an uncanny ability to foresee, that's in quotes, to foresee future pandemics. In addition to preparing for the COVID-19 pandemic via Event 201, he also conducted a monkeypox preparedness exercise. That was the name of it, a monkeypox preparedness exercise in 2021 that predicted the emergence of monkeypox down to the exact month when it emerged. Bill Gates is a brilliant investor on a par with Nancy Pelosi. He bought equity in a barely known biotech startup called BioNTech just 2 months before the COVID-19 pandemic started, and he made well over $1 billion. Remember, BioNTech supplies the Pfizer COVID vaccine, despite having never worked on vaccines before the pandemic. So I recommend listening closely when Bill Gates predicts a future pandemic. He knows something we might not be aware of, and he can't help gloating about the, quote, next one, unquote. No, Bill Gates, the next pandemic won't get any attention because you will be locked up by them. The power-hungry cabal of billionaires and politicians has long plotted to enslave the masses, and now they are making their move. This is a shameless, naked power grab by Gates and the globalist elites, and it must not be allowed to succeed. But thanks to people who refuse to succumb to their brainwashing, people like you, the global elite are finding it much harder than they thought. And this is Lou interjecting. But we can't be complacent. The danger is rearing its ugly head again. Think about this next headline. In and I believe that's when I have. So.
And before you go to it,
yes,
we must tell the listeners that our book is getting closer to fruition. God Almighty has shown us this very day with some medical issues for Lou that looked incredibly hopeless and very troubling, and satanic forces had come against Lou, and I really do mean satanic forces, and all of a sudden, God worked through a Christian family to relieve our minds and to set something in order, in motion. We know that He is in charge, and any of you out there who are struggling, if you will only turn to Jesus Christ and confess your sins to Him, not to some earthly priest, the Bible says only to Jesus, and then He will forgive you, and you ask Him to be your Savior and guide you, and then you give your life to Him. And the reward eventually is eternal life, which is really wonderful. So we thank all of you listeners for all the help you've given, and we know that some of you are going to be looking at survival tips from Gary Kaw, and we hope that they will be very beneficial. And we ask you now to start thinking about buying the book. And the proceeds will go directly to either WWCR or Global Star Communications. And one book will be $17, and there will be an extra $5, and that will be given to Lou and me for the shipping. So you can be thinking about this, and we have accomplished our goal to pay for WWCR and for Global Star Communications through January. So this now makes it possible for you to get your money ready for people you think are thinking people who really want this compendium of the COVID years. Lou and I couldn't believe it when we reviewed it to see what any typos might have to be taken out were like. We couldn't believe things we had forgotten. There's just an amazing amount of information in our book. It is now titled COVID and Coming Chaos. We think the publisher did a good thing to take out the word the. COVID and the coming chaos. It's a little more riveting, COVID and coming chaos. So you'll be thinking about that and praying for the book. We already have Ken's order right ready to go. So you'll be thinking about that. And we don't want the book to go to people who won't really read it and just throw it away. So if you're not interested in the facts, the statistics, of course, there's drama, too. I wrote personally chapter one, and I put a lot of hope and a lot of interesting things into that chapter, I think. Don't you think, Lou?
Very much so, yes.
And
very impressive.
Why, thank you. We are working for the Lord. We're working very hard. We've had all kinds of pressures that you can't imagine. So we do appreciate your continued prayers. And any cash you want to send to us personally, with Lou needing some help with all these medical issues, you can send cash or a money order to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we now have used up all the postage stamps. So if anyone wants to gift us with some of them, good. We've heard the doctor in Pennsylvania is improving. Your prayers were answered. And we ask for prayers for Eddie, Tammy's husband, Eddie, who is having severe heart problems. So pray for Eddie, and pray for our wonderful listener, Mike, who is also having heart problems and has a terrible problem with his spine, spinal stenosis, and is in great pain. And also listener Fred, who's in great pain almost everywhere in his body. So please pray for them, and we know that God will answer these prayers. So now we move on, don't we?
We do. Our next article says, full-scale medical martial law coming to America in 2024. And as Elizabeth said, we have to take some of these with a grain of salt, but it's certainly worth considering.
Now, I have to interrupt. You know, if the CBDC thing goes through, well, some of the greatest financial authorities in this country have said we'll have no freedom left. So we can't be complacent. We're going to have to fight that. We're going to fight that. And Gary Kaw gave the ordinary common day, person's advice to that person, I mean, that you could keep using cash, And we need a lot of prayer for God to hold it back. But we do have to be alerted that this could happen because we can see a degeneration of everything. You know, you and I tried to watch television, and we went to the Up Channel instead of Hallmark with the LGBTQ Cherry Lane business. One of their titles was an LGBTQ. We got in there, but in all the commercials, we had Big Pharma constantly. And there was a pregnant mother nursing a little baby or holding the little baby, and they were pushing the RSV vaccine on that pregnant mother. So where are we going as a culture, as a Christian nation, as these pastors remain silent? So you'd better be listening. You'd better be thinking. And if some of you didn't get survival list of items that Gary Call put out, if you want it, just write to us. We'll be glad to make you a copy. And that's, again, write to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. So now, what do they plan? Lou, give the title again, the headline.
Full-scale medical martial law coming to America in 2024. This is by Ethan Huff from Natural News, dated December 3rd, 2023. It has been nearly 3 years.
I have to interrupt again.
Yes.
I know that listener doesn't like it, but we're very disturbed. Ethan Huff did a magnificent job of reporting during the COVID years. We quoted him often in our book, our coming book. And we're very disturbed because we lately went to that website and we saw that's naturalnews.com. We saw Ethan reporting on the Israel situation. And it looked like a bias, a kind of a slanted bias, that some things that weren't true that Israel did. Now, you know, Lou and I are conservative, and we're not going to be led by fanaticism either way. We willingly reported that the New World Order government of Israel stood down. We have good documentation of that. But what Ethan Huff wrote about certain atrocities that Israel did, they're not provable. And then he wrote this, that Hamas was innocent in harming any of the hostages. Now, Lou, you refuted that immediately. What did you say that you saw?
Well, several of the hostages that were released were in very bad shape, and they explained that they had been, if not tortured, at least subjected to very poor conditions.
And now, even if they were lying, you said about the Hamas website, what?
They were bragging about what they'd done.
Now, how can Ethan Huff write that it wasn't true when Hamas itself is bragging? Be careful what you read everywhere. Be careful who you listen to. We are not Jew haters on this program, and we will not stand for it. We know there are some Jews who are labor Zionists and who are up at the top, who are in the Illuminati. We mentioned that story about Al Cuppet telling about Edgar Bronfman building some kind of a strange facility for the future, and it was supposedly a buffalo slaughtering place, but Al said the dimensions were all wrong. They seemed like human sizes, you see, the doorways and things. Now, we'd never heard that that went anywhere, but again, I picked up a catalog of Christmas foods, and it was basically a Jewish company, and there, guess what you could order to cut your bagels? A guillotine. Huh? So, you know, we're not naive. We realize there is something called Rothschilds. We realize there is the Rockefeller family in this country, and we've appealed to them, the new generation, to make their change so that that glorious colonial Williamsburg will be the epitome of what they do in America. They'll be honored forever, generation after generation, if they stop their association and their proliferation of depopulation efforts and eugenics and all of that. So we appeal. We ask God to change their hearts. You can pray for that. You can pray for that, listeners. So at any rate, we will not be Jew haters, so I had to get this off my mind. We now have to take a little care when we go to Natural News. We have to make sure that this isn't slanted writing propaganda to give a bias. And, you know, this has even made one of our listeners say that the listener hates Jonathan Kahn. We're not to hate anyone. And Jonathan Kahn, we pointed out to that dear listener who really has given money to help us, and we appreciate it so much, but we don't want that listener to be totally bamboozled. We saw a lot of these efforts on trying to convert people, confuse them to hate Jews, just to be anti-Semitic. We saw it when we were on our earliest network, didn't we?
We saw it very much, yes.
Yes, and when the head of the network was out of town, when he got back, he said, "What's that goddamn Jew been doing in here?" When we interviewed Barry Chamish. Now, Barry Chamish himself pointed out that there was a sellout. There are these Illuminati Jews who sold out the ordinary Jewish people. But, you know, God says we're not to hate anyone. And we pointed out to our dear listener in a letter that Jonathan Kahn, even though he was a rabbi, he's a pastor, he is the only churchman in America that we know of who publicly called on Biden to repent. Now, shouldn't we admire a man like that and not hate him because of his ethnic ability? And now, what about the woman at the University of Pennsylvania, wasn't it? Now, give that story, Lou. What happened?
This is really atrocious. I may have that back when the University of Pennsylvania and two
wasn't
or three
Wasn't that about
others,
the Holocaust?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Not exactly, but two or three of the heads of prestigious universities, including University of Pennsylvania, MIT, and Harvard, were testifying before Congress last week, and at least a couple of them refused to condemn violence against Jewish students.
But we want to get to the exact thing about the Holocaust. One of them said,
in answer to the question, does genocide against Jews go against your university code of conduct? This may have been Harvard and not UPenn. And the lady president of the university just equivocated and said, "Well, it depends upon the context." Well, I thought to myself, and most people do think this, and under what context is it legal to slaughter people?
In other words, this has gone so far that our late parents could never believe it.
No.
That a university head might debate whether or not genocide. It could be against anyone. It could be against Irish people. It could be against Roman Catholics. It could be against Wiccans, for all we know. It could be against anyone. Genocide is never, never, never normal or good. And at the university level, this just shows how far down we are. But Lou and I don't intend to become fanatics or tools of the new world order to confuse people. You have to know that some of these shortwave programs in which the person is a one-note person, week after week after week after week after week, the person tries to debunk the Bible and the validity of God's people. I guess I'm going to have to tell this here. I think that God spoke personally in the Bible to me only twice in my life. And one of those times was about Christmas. And, Lou and I are at peace with Christmas because we know that God loves the families that are having fellowship, and God loves the beautiful sacred hymns about Jesus. God wants his son to be honored and the time that he was born remembered. But we do know there are pagan customs. So as a watch person, I asked God one day, "Do you have something to teach me about this?" Because a lot of these old pagan customs, they're not even relevant anymore. Most people have no idea of the origin of Mithra and all these different things, the goddesses here and there. If they're showing love to their family and they're worshiping Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's what's important. But I knew that perhaps God wanted me to separate from the pagan customs. So I said, "Do you have something to teach me?" And believe it or not, listeners, I opened the Bible, and there I was looking at, "Be not like the heathen." And I was told not to go out and get the trees and bring them in and put the gold and silver balls on them. So Lou and I have never decorated a Christmas tree since. We have a little tree, an artificial tree right now in our living room, but it's an outdoor tree, and it just has snow on it. So you see, we're thinking about it, and we have a little church under it. It's an outdoor scene in God's outdoors, And I believe he's pleased that we made that change. The other time was Newsweek had some probably Orthodox Jewish people. They were up on top of the synagogues, and they were being hunted down, I think, by the New World Order Israeli government, if I recall correctly. This is back in the earlier part of the 2000s. And again, we had heard all of these things about replacement theology, all of this. And I went to the Bible. I said, God, what do you have to teach me about those men? And those were not evil rabbis who were inculcated by the Talmud. We know it's evil. We know there's evil. The Torah is not. That was the exact scripture given by God, the Old Testament. So at any rate, I went into the Bible, and the Bible opened right at the part where God said he had an everlasting covenant with his people. That's all I need. You know, God tells us the truth. And so all of you had better decompress yourselves if you've been wrapped up in all this Jew hatred. You better pray for forgiveness. That's very important. So now, and I don't know whether this was a real message from God or just nothing, when it seemed like he told my spirit we had one more year to get ready, and that was earlier this year. So we don't know what's coming. But, Lou, let's get back to the warning.
Again, the headline says, Full-Scale Medical Martial Law Coming to America in 2024. And this was by Ethan Huff. It has been nearly 3 years since Operation Warp Speed delivered Wuhan coronavirus vaccines, that's in quotation marks, meaning so-called vaccines, to the world. And more people than perhaps ever before are sicker than they have ever been. As the situation worsens, the government is readying to unleash full-scale medical martial law on America, likely at some point next year. And I, Lou, will just interrupt and interject. Never underestimate the power of our prayers, pleading with Almighty God to stop this kind of thing, this globalist, horrendous next plan of theirs.
Amen.
Pray, pray, pray earnestly with repentance. Now back to the article. Sources are reporting that upwards of 50% of people who got jabbed for COVID were sickened by the shots, or are still sick with no end in sight. 8 out of 10 jab recipients, especially including those who got at least one so-called booster shot, in addition to the primary series, are suffering complications that could end up disabling them. And then we have this. The headline reads, U.S. Navy Medical Corps Lieutenant reveals 973%. That means more than nine times as many, 973% increase in heart failure after COVID vax. Navy blocks his computer access. This was from Hal Turner radio show, December 4th. Lieutenant Ted Macy, an active-duty officer in the United States Navy Medical Service Corps, has been barred from accessing his work computer by the Department of Defense, DOD, after publicly revealing heart damage to Navy pilots after the COVID vaccine. Macy's exposed significant increase in heart-related issues among military pilots post-COVID-19 vaccination. The data presented by Lieutenant Macy reveals a dramatic spike in various heart-related ailments. And I think at this point we go back to you, Elizabeth.
Okay, we have Roseanne Barr drops truth bomb. Psychopath elite are depopulating the world using vaccines. So you see, listeners, celebrities, the ones not felled by the COVID shots, like possibly Lisa Marie Presley and Bob Saget, are beginning to speak out. So this was the People's Voice, December 5th. The globalist elite are, quote, Satan worshipers from Babylon, end of quote, who are using vaccines to depopulate the world, according to Roseanne Barr, who dropped a series of truth bombs during an episode of Bill Maher's Club Random podcast shared on YouTube on Sunday. We're adding here, Elizabeth says, Brother Bruce of American Prophecy comments, right on, Roseanne. Then we have the EU rolls out mandatory health passports for all citizens. Quote, unvaxxed will be excluded from society. The People's Voice, this is December 4th. The European Union has begun rolling out mandatory digital health passports, which citizens will be required to use if they wish to participate in society. And so, you see, besides depopulation, the true intent, quote, plandemics, is always tyranny and control over the masses. I think, Lou?
All right. Now, here we have an article from naturalnews.com, and another tool coming soon will bring on despotic control, and it may be orchestrated domestic terror attacks. Author and researcher Steve Quayle has warned of orchestrated nuclear events in various U.S. cities.
Stop. Now,
yes.
We have to review, Lou, that we already brought up a little precursor to this article, and it was from the Hal Turner radio show, and it was called Operation Catastrophe. And they were thinking there may be false flags ready to be put in, I think, 15 cities. So this must be a sort of an accompaniment to that idea.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And Steve says, and he told the Health Ranger Mike Adams during a recent appearance on the Health Ranger Report, this is Steve's quote, "The information is that there's going to be orchestrated nuclear events in cities in the U.S. that are going to destabilize us. There are 27 cities that are going to be set up for false flags, and those will be blamed on Hamas or Hezbollah." Unquote. He answered in the affirmative when Adams asked whether or not this would be a coordinated mass domestic terrorist attack. He continued that the responsible parties know nobody could stop them. Quayle said, quote, "I'm speaking specifically about a self-generated false flag series of events in the U.S. that will be simultaneously coordinated and will maximize the amount of destabilization," unquote. According to Quayle, the attacks would be committed using low-yield neutron bombs that can be concealed, with paraffin wax in this case. He pointed out that these neutron bombs can be purchased on the nuclear weapons black market, established by the late Dr. Abdul Qadir Khan. Incidentally, Khan was the father of Pakistan's nuclear weapons development program. One potential suspect for these attacks would be Iran, which has been working on a nuclear bomb for two decades already. Iranian scientists also received training in nuclear physics in the U.S., even before Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the last Shah, was overthrown from power in 1979. Moreover, Quayle highlighted the ease of acquiring certain nuclear components, such as fissionable material, tritium gas, and a trigger from third parties. According to Quayle, a three-letter U.S. government agency will orchestrate the attacks, a theory Adams agreed with. The Health Ranger commented that previous guests he had interviewed talked about the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, going around to recruit radicalized Muslims in America for such attacks.
Let me interrupt quickly. We
yes.
talked before, there might be 40 different undercover sites here where the Muslims are being kept in wait, and our government knows it. The deep state knows it. Go ahead, Lou.
Adams then asked if the guest, meaning Steve, if former U.S. President Barack Obama was involved in this false flag scheme. The 44th president has always wanted to take down America from within. Quayle responded in the affirmative, recounting former House senior advisor Valerie Jarrett flying to Iran along with tens of billions of dollars. History appears to repeat itself once more, with incumbent U.S. President Joe Biden set to release another $10 billion, possibly meant for Tehran. He urged Americans to remember, now this, they're referring to Steve, Steve urged Americans to remember Obama's classic statement about what he was going to do for the world of Islam in America, bringing change. Given this, Quayle disclosed that he was even asking some people if they liked the change that has happened to America now. Follow terrorism.news for more stories about the impending terrorist attacks to be carried out in America.
Yes, Lou, is that it?
That's it, yes.
Yes, we have to be on guard. We definitely have to be on guard and praying constantly because the New World Order is a global machine. New York Times admits Israel knew about Hamas attack 1 year in advance. And, of course, this was December 1st, this article at the People's Voice. The New York Times has admitted that Israel knew about the Hamas attack at least 1 year before it took place on October 7th. According to the shocking new report, Israeli intelligence ignored substantial evidence that was handed to them about the impending attack. The plan reportedly shows that Hamas plotted the attack and acted on their blueprint with zero resistance from the Israeli government. The approximately 40-page document, which the Israeli authorities codenamed Jericho Wall, isn't that a travesty with that biblical name, Lou?
Yeah, that sure is.
Outlined point by point exactly the kind of devastating invasion that led to the deaths of about 1,200 people. The translated document, which was reviewed by the New York Times, did not set a date for the attack, but described methodical assault designed to overwhelm the fortifications around the Gaza Strip, take over Israeli cities, and storm by military bases. Military bases, including a division headquarters. Hamas followed the blueprint with shocking precision. The document called for a barrage of rockets at the outset of the attack, drones to knock out the security cameras, and automated machine guns along the border, and gunmen to pour into Israel en masse in paragliders or motorcycles and on foot, all of which happened October 7th. The Hamas planning document also opens with a quote from the Quran: "Surprise them through the gate. If you do, you will certainly prevail." Here at the Divided Kingdom, we have to ask whether this disaster was much more than the said intelligence failure. Israel has now acknowledged that there were intelligence failures. Those are quotes. Was it instead another example of, quote, an inside job? You must keep your eyes open. You must keep your hearts ready to be under Jesus Christ. You must look to heaven for your strength and sustenance. Remember, Al Cuppett's ancestor, the pastor, J.C. Skipper, was being chased by a bear, and God translated him over Deep Creek Lake. J.C. Skipper is that same man who had the dream someone was there in the deep, deep snow in his glory barn needing to be saved. His daughter says, "Don't go down there in all that snow, Dad." He went down, and there was that little lost lamb waiting to give his life to Jesus. And in the early 2000s, Al Cuppett was at a reunion. He told the story, and a woman jumped up. She says, "That was my grandfather. Jesus is real." And if you didn't hear the program for December 6th and 7th about Betty Maltz being brought back to life, go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, December 6th archives. Good night.